My name is Fran Alpert, and once upon a time I was from Chicago. For the last 3 decades, this has been the most wonderful work in the world. I get up every morning, sometimes earlier than others, and I bring people to sites like this, places where thousands of years ago people like yourselves gathered because these were the important places in their lives. Some of them from far away from Jerusalem, like you are, and some of them locals. I don't think much changes, right? I'm sure one of the things you see in a trip to Israel, a trip to the Holy Land, is how much things stay the same. There's just this idea of what goes around comes around. And so what you've come around to is the other side of what you looked at Thursday morning with Ian. He took you to the southern side of the Temple Mount. He showed you the steps on which you would have, by which you would have entered the temple to pray. He talked to you about some pretty big names in our history, a fellow by the name of Herod, another guy by the name of Josephus Flavius, and others who were involved in what took place here. And what we're going to look at this morning, in a very confined period of time, because that's all we're allowed here, is the amazing and today very famous area that's called the Western Wall Tunnel. In other words, you're going to look at more of the same. The continuation of what is outside, called the Western Wall, which is only just about 60 meters. This morning we're going over 400 meters along the western side of the retaining wall. What I'd like to do here briefly is to explain to you what we mean when we talk about a retaining wall and how it came to be. If you had come here 2,000 years ago, this is probably the way you would have seen Moriah. You're on the western side, okay? So you're westerners, behind me are the easterners, south and north. I know it's very difficult. I grew up in Chicago, the lake was always on my east, right? I came to Jerusalem, it took 6 months before I could figure out which way was east or west. Yeah, on a cloudy day. So you have to keep your directions always. Okay. So on the west, right, is a deep valley. It's called the Valley of Haggai. On the east is another deep valley. It's called the Valley of the Kidron. Mm-hmm. That valley, Kidron, is the valley where you see the rise up to the Mount of Olives, where the ancient cemeteries are. Mm-hmm. All right, and further down, you would be Mount Scopus. Okay. So you've got that idea from where you when you were over there last week. All right. So these two valleys form a landmass, and the top of the landmass is what we call Mount Moriah. According to tradition, this is the place where the world began. This is God's foundation stone when you look at the story of creation. It's after that that on this site, Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar up here. That tradition was probably in the mind of King David when he came to Jerusalem. There was already an altar here because altars to gods, small g, small s at that time, were always at a high point. And it was there that he bought the piece of land, knowing that it had been the place of the sacrifice. Solomon built the first temple on this area somewhere, we're not sure. Maybe a little bit where it was flatter, over here, maybe up here, we're not sure. And that was the site that became the second temple. All right? And in that second temple period, we had a temple that was built by Nehemiah. That temple became the temple that the Maccabees cleaned for Hanukkah. Mm. And then came Herod. Mm. Herod decided that none of that was big enough, grand enough, or great enough for him. So he began his project. The first thing he did was to remove the top of the mount. It doesn't work. It's too tall. It's too high. It's too cumbersome. It just doesn't work. Once he had done that and he had cleared everything away, he began the process of the retaining walls. This high point is where we're going. We're going here. We're going to walk around it. It's where we think the Antonia Fortress was built. So what Herod in fact did was created a box. A great big box. No. I did. All right. He built a wall on the west, okay, rising above the valley. You're standing out there this morning, another morning.
just now waiting for me. You're standing in this valley, actually, even though it's about 24 feet of fill. It's 21 meters below you. So this is the Western Wall. Then he builds the Southern Wall along the crest. This is where you sat with Ian on the steps, right here. I understand it was very hot. So that's the south. Here, there's no problem. You've got all this bedrock. So you build part of your wall along that. And it's here on the north, I'm sorry, on the east, that he builds along the crest of Mount Moriah, which is going into the valley of the Kidron. He builds up the walls very high. He fills the spaces inside, even on the bedrock, with cantilevered arches. Anyone an architect here? Well, Roman architecture is built on the premise of the Roman arch, right? That's what's underneath here. And then when it was all filled, he filled it in, and... he built, yes, we'll have to lift weights. He built the temple. Now, that temple was the place to which we would have been going this morning, because today is Thursday, and this is when everybody in the community would gather there, and they would read the scroll of the law, and the sacrifice would be offered. So, this is the temple, and it's to this place that everybody came until in the year 70, the temple was destroyed. And when the temple was destroyed, the whole area was empty. We have no evidence of anything else being written, built again, not under the Romans, except for a Roman statue in 135 or 6 of the Emperor Hadrian and a pagan temple. That, of course, was destroyed when that Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire. No churches, although there is one tradition that a church of St. Mary was built. No remains have ever been found. So it's empty. When along come the Muslims 630-some years after the Common Era, after almost 500-some years after that destruction. And what they do is, I want people to hear that where it belongs. What they do is to put up the Dome of the Rock. And that Dome of the Rock covers a raw piece of stone. The foundation stone, the same place where God created the world and where Abraham laid his son on the altar. And they say that it was from here that Muhammad on his winged horse, Barak, which actually in Hebrew means hail, went to heaven. And so that has stood now since 691 when it was completed. And that is the site. So time passes, the Muslims leave, The crusaders come back. They use this as a church. He also builds a large, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's used as a knight's hall. Then all of that remains to today. In other words, even though the authorities change and the rulers change, this has been here from that time. Jews always came. They came on the southern wall. I don't know whether Ian showed you the inscription. Probably 9th, 10th century. We know that they came, and in the 1300s, in all probability, the people who were ruling here, who were the Mamelukes, gave us the perpetual right to pray out here. So when you're at the Western Wall, the Kotel in Hebrew, you are not at the wall of the temple because it was up here. You're praying at the retaining wall. Does it make it any less holy? Not a bit. Look, the temple is gone, and there are no remains that we can excavate because now this is under the authority of Islam. But the tradition, which is always stronger than fact, says that when the temple here was destroyed, God's presence hovered over the spot to mark it. And when you stand at the Western Wall, you are under God's protection. And that's why the Western Wall is so important. You can pray here, you could have prayed here, you could pray here, although their building is built right up to it. You can pray anywhere. But the fact is that this is the traditional site. Okay, so everyone is clear. We're not going on. We're not going through. We're not going under. We are going through a man-made tunnel. In 1967, the outside of the platform came to under the authority of Israel. It was at that time that they began to plan and dig under, beginning in 72, along the face. So the tunnel that we're in, supported by thousands of tons of cement and iron, is actually a man-made walkway, which goes under the current city. And if you just keep your eyes on this, I did get a workout. Okay. It's cast iron, not cast. So what happened? From the Crusaders onward, the valley filled in with houses. How do you hold the houses up? You build more cantilevered arches. What do you do when you want to renew your house? You fill in the arches, the supports, with dirt and mud and rubble and everything else. And pretty soon the ground level rises. And so where the tunnel goes is underneath. Here's the western wall. It goes underneath, all the way under the houses of the Mamelukes and the Papalukes and the Babylukes and all the other Abbasids and those who came from other places, all the way under until you get here. And then, it was the work progressed through the 80s, it ran into a water tunnel that was dug originally by the Hasmonean kings. Those are the Maccabees. And so the tunnel now is man-made, all the way, that is, the new one of the 20th and 21st century, and the water tunnel we're going to walk through. And when we get to the end, we're going to come to the Struthian pool, which is where the water was caught and used to send it to the temple through that Hasmonean water tunnel. And then we're going to come out on the Via Della Rosa. So we are actually going to be right about where your sweater is. Okay? That's how fun. So I can tell all of you had a good breakfast, you're all up, you're ready to go.
We haven't had breakfast.
Neither have I. Okay, so just a couple of things on this tour. There are very few questions that are stupid questions, I must tell you that. Please do not say, I know this is a stupid question, but ask your question, I'm more than happy to try and explain. If my explanations are not clear, I have an authority with me who will help you. And if he can't tell you, then we'll tell you some chapter and verse to check, because that way we want you to have the right answers. We're not interested in your, you know, going away confused, like is the Western Wall over there or down there. The second thing is you may take any picture you want on this tour. There are no no-nos, so to speak. The only other thing, number three, please stay as close together as you can. People are entering in groups, 20-minute intervals. That means that there's, and I don't talk, you know, a little bit. I talk a lot. And I try to talk as fast as I can, although Ian has surpassed me, I'm sure. And I don't want you to miss, I want to give you as much as there is, you know, for you to take away, because the tendency is that after the first 20 minutes, most people can't figure out, you know, is today Thursday? Oh no, today is Monday. Okay. All right, questions till now while I disconnect the temple mount. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Herod
build it? Pardon? Herod.
Yeah, when did he build it?
When? All right. Herod reigns from 37 before the Common Era to the year 6, probably into the 18th, 19th year of his reign. So we can figure somewhere around 18, 19 before the Common Era, and we'll talk about the reasons why he built the temple. Remember, there was a temple here. All he did was expand the area. You're a strong guy.
The Bible speaks of the Milo, M-I-L-L-O.
Yes.
Is that
Milo.
The
Milo. Yeah.
Is that the fill-in material there?
No, you're thinking of something like in Hebrew, the word to fill is called milui, which is interesting. But it is not that. The Milo is this area where you sat with Ian. The Bible mentions the word Milo twice. In both contexts, it's talking about a slope that's going down from Mount Moriah down toward where the City of David is. Have you been to the City of David yet?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
so you know that you went down because you had to come up. So this would be what we call the Milo. Milo is not a building, it is an area. It's a geological term here.
I think it says he built the palace on the Milo, and in the Bible, or something was built on it. And it has led to lots of problems because a lot of archaeologists have done nothing but spend their time looking for it. And it is not a building or an edifice, it is an area. Okay, so let me just disconnect.
Do you need help?
No, it's my morning exercise. Wait a minute, I have to find my house.
So when was this canal exactly made in 19?
This canal,
yeah.
It began in 1972, and it still is continuing. It continued.
What's the place?